Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Our subject this morning is a warning against false prophets. The Word of God has much to say for our instruction concerning that which is counterfeit, concerning that which is set to deceive and to lead astray the people of God. The Bible speaks much concerning false gods, concerning false Christs, concerning false brethren, concerning false doctrines, and concerning false prophets. In our first message, we considered false prophets in this context. Our Lord begins in verses 13 and 14 to state that we are to make diligent effort to enter in at the strait gate. The reason being that there is a wide gate and a broad way, and these lead to destruction, and multitudes are entering in to that road of easy religious profession. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And immediately after this warning, he states, beware of false prophets. False prophets would seduce. False prophets would deceive. False prophets would lead through the wide gate and into the broad way that leadeth unto destruction. Then these false prophets are described for us in verses 16 through 20. The counterfeit of their converts is given to us in verse 21, and their condemnation is marked out in verses 22 and 23. Beware of false prophets. We marked in the second place false prophets and their character, their ministry, their message, their deception, and so forth. Our third consideration, false prophets and their corruption. For they corrupt the truth concerning God. They corrupt the truth concerning man. They corrupt the truth concerning sin. And they corrupt the truth concerning salvation. And now, as God enables us this morning, two final areas in our text, false prophets and their converts, false prophets and their condemnation. A warning against false prophets. In the first place, from verses 16 through 20, and including 21, false prophets and their converts. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In the full expressive language of the New Testament, verse 16 reads, from their fruits, by looking at their fruits, from examining their fruits, ye shall know all about them. The verb know is an intensive word in the original language. From their fruits, from examining their fruits, ye shall know all about them. And then the rhetorical question in verse 16, men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? Of course not. The Greek language is very explicit in this rhetorical question that it demands a no answer. We err greatly if we look for a multitude of genuine converts from these false prophets. Then in verses 17, 18, and 19, these false teachers, these false preachers, are likened unto corrupt trees that bring forth corrupt fruit. Their fruit is not good. The trees may look identical to good trees, but we see that by their fruits we discern that something is drastically wrong with the tree in its very heart, core, and nature. Wherefore, emphatically, by repetition, from their fruits ye shall know all about them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who is habitually practicing the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is not lip service that the gospel demands, but it is a converted life. So we come to false prophets and their converts. The emphasis in verses 16 through 21 is upon the fruit of the false prophet. The fruit of the false prophet is the product of his ministry. The results of his preaching, the results, the manifestation of his creed. In the largest sense, the fruit here would be the creed or doctrine. There is much corrupt doctrine. There are many false doctrines. The time will come, said the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, when they will no longer, literally, hold up under sound doctrine. But they will be turned aside unto fables. They will listen to men who will tell them what they want to hear. And so there are false creeds, there are false confessions, there is much false doctrine. There is a view of the Word of God that is erroneous and will ultimately lead to the damnation of the soul and the deception of that one who trusts in that doctrinal system to gain him entrance into the presence of God. Beware of false prophets. The fruit also would include the character or distinctiveness of these false prophets themselves. It is not enough to believe orthodox doctrine. There also must be an agreement with that doctrine in the life. One may speak the king's language and not be a citizen of that country, nor a subject of that king. One may be a spy, one may be a traitor, one may be a subversive. And there are men today who are false prophets. They are straight as a gun barrel, just as empty, just as deadly. Their doctrine is orthodox, but their private life, their personal character, and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is diametrically opposed to what they publicly profess. Beware of false prophets. Their fruit must also include their converts or their disciples. Jeremiah speaks to this in the 8th chapter of his prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 8, the latter part of verse 10 and verse 11. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. False prophets produce defective converts. False prophets are those who have spoken peace to the heart and to the soul, when God has not spoken peace to that heart and to that soul. False prophets have a different standard of converting grace. False prophets preach doctrine that is not scriptural doctrine. False prophets modify the truth of the Word of God. False prophets pervert the way of salvation. False prophets lead in the broad gate, the wide way that leads to destruction. Therefore, our Lord warned us, beware of false prophets. Therefore, we must consider those who have spoken peace, peace, when God has not spoken peace to the heart and to the soul. Those who have guaranteed acceptance before God when they have no scriptural warrant for doing so. False prophets and their converts. Now it is true that even under the best of ministries, even under the truest preaching, there will be those who for a time will be fellow travelers with the truth of the gospel without being truly converted. That is true. And yet when we consider false prophets and their converts, we are considering men whose doctrinal system, whose personal character, whose converts are largely those who have fallen away from the truth and reality of the Word of God because they have believed these men who are preaching falsehood, and therefore their souls are deceived and ultimately damned. False prophets and their converts. The ministry of the false prophet often produces unconverted converts. An unconverted convert is a contradiction in terms, but nonetheless it is a sad reality in many of our churches today and outside many of our churches today. There are multitudes who have walked an aisle, prayed a prayer, signed a card, made a decision for Christ, quote unquote, but these same individuals bear little or no resemblance to the true children of God. They have gone through the mechanics of evangelical Christianity, and yet at the very same time, the evidences of God's converting grace are not in their lives and experience. And if we are faithful to the Word of God, we must say that these very individuals have entered the wide gate of easy believism and are progressing on the broad way of irresponsible religious profession. Beware of false prophets. What saith the Scripture? Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this passage of Scripture, the apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is emphasizing the transformation that is absolutely essential to and inherent in the conversion of any sinner. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Verse 14. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because of the death of our Lord, that covenant death, such was the implications of that death, that everyone for whom our Lord died, died with him judicially. Such is the meaning of verse 14. The consequence of our Lord's death was the judicial death of everyone for whom he died. We are identified in his death. We are vitally united to his person and work. There is a spiritual relationship that manifests itself in our experience. Wherefore, verse 16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Because of our union with Christ, because of our relationship to him, because of our identification in his person and work, we do not know each other as we once did. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. This means that the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer the meek and mild, gentle Jesus who walked along the shores of Galilee. He is no longer Jesus the Nazarene. He is no longer Jesus as he preached in the temple. He is no longer Jesus as he healed the sick and raised the dead. Since his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of glory, where he is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is in a different position and he is in a different relationship to this universe. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, said our Lord. And he now rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is a great mistake if we humanize him to the meek and mild, gentle and lowly Jesus that he was during his earthly life. We have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is very God. He is exalted. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if anyone is vitally united to him, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There are no unconverted converts that belong to him. Salvation, conversion is a transformation of life that cannot go unnoticed. It changes the individual in every aspect of his experience. Paul writes again in Ephesians chapter 4, showing the great gulf that exists between unsaved and saved individuals. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, that you no longer order your life as the unregenerate among whom you live, who walk or order their lives in the futility of their thinking. And then he describes the godlessness, the apostasy, the rebellion, the lawlessness of the unregenerate mind and heart as these express themselves in experience. And then he writes, verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, now conforming to the original language, and that you have already put off, concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and you are constantly being renewed, replenished, realigned in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have already put on the new man, which tan kata theon, which after God, under the dominion of God, conforming to the moral nature and character of God, is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." God has no unconverted converts. When a man is saved, when an individual is regenerated by the grace and power of God, when one comes into vital living relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ by God's free and sovereign grace, this individual, inherent in redeeming mercy, is transformed. He is no longer the same person that he was. God's grace has entered his life. God's Holy Spirit has entered his experience. He has a new morality, a new ethic. He has a new social outlook. He has a new mental process. And in principle, at least, the image of God is restored in him, conforming him, at least in principle, to the image of God's moral character and nature. Conversion is an absolute necessity. A converted life must be, or we have entered the wide gate and are in the broad way that leadeth to destruction. With the other multitudes who have listened to the easy believism of the false prophet, with the other multitudes who have a Christianity that makes no demands upon their lives, we have entered in through the wide gate and the broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And so we say again, beware of false prophets. Beware of those who preach an easy believism. Beware of those who say that conversion is not utterly necessary. Beware of those who degrade the work and reality of the ministry of the Spirit of God and converting grace in the life. Beware of false prophets. Conversion means to be turned around. Conversion means to be radically changed, to be modified. Are you a modified person? Are you a converted person? Have you, by God's free and sovereign grace, been turned around? Has your life been turned inside out? Or have you merely become religious? Did you merely have an emotional experience? Did you merely join the church? Did you just begin to call yourself a Christian? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, the image of God and the moral character of God is in principle reflected into his experience. And therefore, we cannot remain silent while men are preaching that all you have to do is walk the aisle, all you must do is pray the prayer, all you must do is have this experience or that experience, and whether or not your life changes, you are assured of heaven. Beware of false prophets. Although they come to you in sheep's clothing, remember that their doctrine will devour you, lead to the damnation of your soul. Beware of false prophets. False prophets in their ministry often produce unrepentant, merely intellectual, or simply emotional converts who rest in a carnal security. And there are so many. There are multitudes who have gone through the wide gate. There are multitudes in the broad way. There are many who rest at ease. And we have asked them, and we do ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. How do you know that you're a Christian? Oh, I made my decision for Christ. Oh, I went forward in that meeting. Oh, I prayed and shed tears, and I took the preacher's hand and I was baptized. So, and pray, what good did that do? The saying in Texas is very applicable here. It is not how high you jump, it is how straight you walk when you hit the ground. It is not that emotional experience or what you felt or what you did. Has God entered your life and experience? And day by day do you know the witness of His Holy Spirit in accordance with His truth? Are you a converted person? Do you have scriptural assurance of your salvation? What reason do you have to believe that you know Christ savingly? Beware of false prophets. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who practices the will of God abideth forever. And yet the false prophet tells us, oh, I know that so-and-so is a saved person. And although they're caught up in the world, they are a worldly Christian. There is no such person. We do not find him in the Word of God. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Beware of false prophets. Our Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross day by day, and keep on following me. And we say no. We say that is narrow. We say that is for dedicated Christians and for spiritual people. No, we would rather say, oh, raise your hand, make your decision, walk the aisle, sign the card, give your heart to Jesus, have this experience. And whether your life shows it or not, rest assured that God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, and heaven will be your final home. Beware of false prophets who would lead through the wide gate of easy believism and in the broad way of irresponsible Christianity. And yet the false prophet answers, oh, but my friends, you do not believe the Word of God. Do you know the Bible has much to say concerning carnal Christians? And so we look at the carnal Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved man has no appetite for spiritual things. They're tasteless. They are insipid to him. Neither can he know them. He has no ability, no power to know them, to discern them, to comprehend them. He needs the work of the Spirit of God. Then Paul addresses them in chapter 3, and I, brethren, talking to believers, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Paul called them carnal, fleshly. Not because they were living in adultery, not because they bore no fruit of saving grace, not because there was no difference between them and the unsaved, except that emotional experience or that decision. He called them carnal because they had a party spirit in the church. He called them carnal because there was strife in the assembly. He called them carnal because they were looking to this preacher and to that preacher rather than looking to Christ. A carnal Christian is one who is looking to men rather than to God. And we're all guilty of that at times. A carnal Christian is one who has a party spirit, and we all have that at times. A carnal Christian is one who has self in the way because of a favorite minister. And oftentimes we defend our favorite preachers also. But that's an entirely different thing from giving a carnal security and assurance to adulterers, to fornicators, to those who curse, to those who swear, to those who cheat, to those who steal, and to those whose only difference between them and the world of the wicked and the ungodly is they have had some emotional experience, or they have signed their name on the dotted line after an evangelistic service. Beware of false prophets who would allow men and women to rest in a carnal security. You will know the tree by its fruits. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is habitually practicing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Saving faith manifests itself with three attributes: obedience, righteousness, and perseverance, according to the Word of God. Beware of false prophets. Yet again, the ministry of a false prophet often produces converts who believe that holiness is an option and sanctification is through rededication. There is a defective and false message preached today that teaches justification is entirely distinct and separate from sanctification. That a man may be justified yet not sanctified. We find it on bumper stickers, do we not? Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. That is a lie. It is saying that a man is justified but not sanctified. God has forgiven him, but he does not live a converted life. It is an excuse for sin. And although we sin, beloved, we have no excuse for it. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our justification, Christ is our sanctification, Christ is our redemption, and everyone whom God justifies, He likewise sanctifies. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Then there are those who teach that sanctification is merely positional. that we are sanctified in Christ, we are made holy in Him, we are set apart in Him, but that our sanctification has absolutely no relationship to the way we live in daily experience. The man who would teach that is a false prophet. Beware of false prophets and seek after that holiness without which, the Word of God declares, no man shall see the Lord. Everyone that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Beware of false prophets. There are those who teach that to be holy, to gain victory over sin, to change in our life and experience, we must come forward at the end of a church service when the altar call is given, and there we are to rededicate our lives. This is one of the cornerstones of fundamentalism. But beloved, I want to see it in the Word of God, and I do not find it there. And when I find doctrines preached from the pulpit that are not in the Word of God, then I find that I'm listening to a false prophet who is speaking peace to the heart and to the soul when God has not spoken peace to that heart and to that soul. Our Lord said, beware of false prophets. Yet again, their ministry often produces converts who have only an outward semblance of religion without a true inward reality. These individuals are described for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We must be impressed singularly with this fact. The individuals described here are religious people. Paul is describing not the ungodly, not the reprobate, not the God-haters of society, not the openly profligate, but the religious community, the Christian community, those who claim to know the Lord as their Savior. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, literally, rather than lovers of God, literally now, continuing to possess an outward semblance of godliness, having long ago denied and continuing to deny the power thereof, from such turn away. These are professing Christians. These have walked the aisle. These have signed a card. These have prayed a prayer. These are identified as the people of God. But their religion has absolutely no restriction upon their lives whatsoever. These have entered the wide gate. These are in the broad way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Beware of false prophets. There must be an outward reality if there is an inward reality. Conversion is not optional. Conversion is essential. And salvation is nothing less than moral conformity to the character of God in accordance with His truth by the dynamic of His Spirit. Beware of false prophets. Yet again, their ministries often produce converts who look to these false prophets for their authority, for their standard, for their example, and for their assurance. I was saved under the preaching of Dr. So-and-so. Or as one woman very honestly put it, Dr. So-and-so saved me, and he probably did. The Word of God declares, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Not of bloods, genealogy, plural, in the Greek, not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh. I didn't do it myself. Nor of the will of a man. It wasn't the preacher or the teacher, but of God emphatically. And Paul would say, for we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your willing bond slaves for Jesus' sake. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power and excellency might be of God. Where do you find men, preachers, teachers, in the Word of God, making themselves great, saying, look unto us, we are the fountain and source of truth? Is your religious profession bound up in another human personality, or is it in Jesus Christ alone? Beware of false prophets. Beware of men who seem to be the authority. Beware of men who seem to be the example. Beware of men who seem to dish out large doses of assurance to men and women who bear no marks of God's converting grace. Beware of false prophets. Do not look to men, look to Christ. Might your assurance, your hope, your anticipation of glory be bound up in Him and in Him alone. Beware of false prophets. And now quickly in the second place, false prophets and their condemnation. We return to our text, verses 22 and 23. We mark in the first place that there will be many of these false prophets. Many will say to me in that day. The word in the original language signifies many, emphasizing quantity. It could be translated in an idea as multitudes. Multitudes will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not had these great ministries in your name? And the Lord will disown them. It is an awful thing to consider that there will be multitudes of men who have stood in the pulpit who will be disowned and reprobated by the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, to say nothing of their sincere, faithful, and deceived followers. Beware of false prophets. Yet again, many of these false prophets will have been sincere. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out demons, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? This, in the language of the New Testament, is a rhetorical question. It implies in its construction, of course we have. Certainly we've done these things. We've done it all in your name. We've done it all for your glory. The standard of judgment will be truth. Truth! What then of those ministers who have decried the doctrines of grace? What then of those ministers who have ridiculed the electing and predestinating grace and mercy of God? and omitted much divine truth from their ministry. What then of those who have built great ministries by organization, by promotion, who very sincerely have given their life and sweat blood and tears for the sake of religion and for the cause of Christ? The Lord will disown them on that day, because judgment will be according to truth. Thus saith the Lord. A church is not to be judged by its greatness, or we should either have to become Romanists or Muslims. A church is not to be judged on the money it takes in, or we should all become heretics. A church is not to be judged on the wealth of its membership, or their high social standing, or we should all become modernists. A church is not to be judged but by one judgment, and that is truth. Is the Word of God declared, and is it reflected in the life of its people? Judge true judgment, or righteous judgment, said our Lord. Beware of false prophets. Yet again, many of these false prophets will have passed for orthodox Christians. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? They call Him Lord. These are not modernists. They call Him Lord. They hold strongly to His deity. They call Him Lord. They preach the person and work of Christ. In Thy name we have prophesied or preached. In Thy name we have cast out demons. In Thy name we have done many wonderful works. We've done it all for You. And He will disown them. There are men in the ministry. I have known some personally. I have known the families of others. Nationally known men who have exercised great and successful ministries. And not until their later lives, although they were orthodox in their preaching, and oftentimes very correct in most of their doctrine, it was not known or made known, or perhaps to many never known, that in their later lives they were given over to licentiousness and immorality. By their fruits ye shall know them. Beware of false prophets. It is not enough to have truth in the head. It must be reflected in the experience, in the life. Yet again, many of these false prophets will have had great ministries in the eyes of men. We have prophesied or preached in Your name. We have cast out demons in Your name. We have done many wonder signs or wonderful works in Your name. We have built large churches. We have had great ministries. We have held large crusades. We have had great times of revivalism. We've had great citywide campaigns. We've built large buildings. We've had a great influence. And our Lord will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. a man, a ministry, a church, a people must be judged according to the Word of God alone. The standard is ever truth. Beware of false prophets. Beware of that which is great in the eyes of men. Beware of that which is run by human machinery. Beware of these things. If at all they depart from the Word of God, let God be true, but every man a liar. Beware of false prophets. Thank God when He blesses His servants. Rejoice in the Lord when His churches grow and the truth prospers and men and women are saved. But let it be the power of the Spirit. Let it be the Word of God. Let us not be deceived by the substitution of man's ability and man's power and man's ingenuity. Beware of false prophets. And finally, all will be disowned and utterly rejected by our Lord. Then will I profess unto them, unto these very ones who prophesied in His name, unto the very ones who cast out demons in His name, unto the very ones who did all these mighty and wonderful works in His name, I give you the language of the New Testament. Then will I profess unto them, I never, ever knew you. Depart from me, ye who are working lawlessness. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. From their fruit you shall know all about them. Is your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Is it bound up in Him from the lips of our Lord Himself? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. The word know means such a knowledge that enters into our experience. Do you in your daily life, in your very experience, know the vital living relationship with God that our Lord calls eternal life? Is your salvation bound up in Him? Do you know Him? Are you resting in Him? Do you believe in Him? Is He your salvation? Is His righteousness yours? And do you have hope in God, in Jesus Christ alone? If not, then lay aside that empty profession. Lay aside the easy believism. Enter in at the straight gate. Struggle in the narrow way that leads unto life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Cast yourself upon Him and upon Him alone. There is salvation. There is acceptance with God. There and there alone is the dynamic and reality of true Christianity. May God so bless His truth as He will. In Jesus' name, Amen.